The work in us. He takes us wherever we are. Doesn't matter what degree of pressures we've lived in, etc. What I believe is that he takes a hold of our mouth when we least expect it. At the leaders' meeting yesterday, I learned that we have been privileged not to be touched because there's another church in Chicopee that had to close because they had many people with COVID-19. No one passed away, but a lot of suffering. A lot of painful experiences. Even the pastor where we meet, Chuck Weimer, ended up with COVID-19. Him and his wife both had it. He was the one that got hit the hardest. And he said he's never been that sick, never been that severely ill. He said, I had one night that I really had a real long talk with the Lord and I was ready to leave. But they tried to get some help, but no help was available in this area. So his daughter hopped on a plane and went over to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a connection, I don't know exactly how, was made with a doctor down there who provided some medication,
hydroxychloroquine.
And the first pill, when she came back, because she had a direct flight and a direct flight to come back, he took that pill, and within an hour and a half, the symptoms disintegrated, the fever broke, and he says, I've never been so that my mouth was shaking to the point that I couldn't hardly breathe. His whole body was in such vibration, it was unbelievable. And it couldn't stop, there was no control. The second pill improved the situation again. I believe there were five pills. And at the end of the five, he was free from all symptoms. Which confirms something he already knew, that the strategy to keep the medication off the market is a major sin against humanity. Okay? This is a sin against humanity. And a bottle of that is no more expensive than a bottle of aspirin.
Right. Wow.
And if you were living in different countries, you'd have it available right at your local store, local drug store, just like you buy aspirin off the counter. It can be used as a preventative. I know that for a fact, because my neighbor had a medical condition. And she was taking it for I believe 8 years, every day, one pill. No different than you take a baby aspirin to lower your blood from having pressure. This presents an opportunity for the church to be angry, but not to be retaliatory. There's a difference. You can have an awareness of what the darkness is doing. A lady shared Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones, and I don't need to go there. I think you already know it. And she also, their church had to close because of a lot of people sick. But again, the Lord opened up a door for her to get a new job. And it was kind of neat because she's been where she is for 5 years in a medical facility. And I know where she worked because my wife went there and I saw her several years back. She said she questioned the Lord about that job for years. What am I doing here? I don't have an effect. I don't have fruit. I'm wasting my time. I don't see anybody change because I'm here. And questioned. Well, Friday was her last day. And she said she learned that she had had an impact, but it was never spoken. I got all kinds of cards from my coworkers. And the boss said to her before she was leaving, not only will she be sorely missed, but she was a light in the midst of darkness. And we don't want to lose what we've got, but we gratefully say thank you for the past 5 years. And she says, I wept all the way home because the enemy was able to craft his lie over the five-year period, that you have no value, you've touched no one. She says, I prayed with different individuals as they, you know, had a need, et cetera, et cetera. So let that be a lesson that, you know, God knows what's going on.
Kim, the website of Frontline Doctors for America.
Yeah.
I haven't had to access it. I get there every month. You're supposed to be able to go on that website and get that prescription from them.
Yeah.
It's on their website. They say they will send it if you come to us.
Yeah.
Send the prescription.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she went to her friend in Tulsa and brought home the product so they'd have it overnight. Why is this test so severe? I think sometimes we underestimate what God is up to. So there were a few things shared, and I ended up sharing something that I saw in my head. It came as a vision that I was supposed to share. When I was still in business, we had a lady from the Baptist church who came to the prayer meetings every Tuesday night. And I knew her husband. I went to high school with him. And long story short, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he got extremely angry at me because he didn't want to come. And he ended up with a new job, and being the owner of the business, I'm the one that's allowed to go to the dump because nobody else was available that day. So I loaded up the truck and went to the dump, which was the old airport. So I drove in and he sees me. And of course I had the van, so the door was wide open. And he started to scream at me, called me an SOB, plus, plus, plus. And if I had a gun, I'd kill you now. And I tried to respond to defend my position, of course. And to make a long story short, finally gave him the ticket that he was looking for and drove away and got rid of the trash and drove home. Fast forward approximately 15 years. I'm now working at Grace Church. Pastor Gino calls me at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Kim, can you stop and see me at the hospital? I don't want to be here. Would you come on your way home? I said, well, I have two more appointments. Unfortunately, you know, I can't tonight. Kim, I can't stand being here. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't stand being here. I said, well, look, stop tomorrow on my way to work and we'll pray. He says, okay. So the next morning, late morning, I got to the hospital, and I walks in, and he's got the biggest smile, and he says, boy, I'm glad you came. I said, well, obviously I'm here, you know, what can I do? He said, do you have your oil? I said, of course I have my oil. So I took out my little bottle of oil, and he said, here, and he pulls the curtain back, and there's the man from the dump. They were up all night. The man from the dump accepted Jesus and was born again that night, and he tells me to go anoint him. So much for being angry at being at the hospital. So I anointed him, and if I remember the numbers correctly, 36 hours he was gone. Wow. He died and went home. But he got to know the Lord. Amen. You see, after I said this, Holy Spirit got a hold of my mouth and said, I believe that's where we are now as a country. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of bitterness, anger, beyond consideration. There's hurts, there's woundedness, etc., etc. But Holy Spirit got a hold of Gino's mouth. And those two talked all night. And by the morning, he was a new creation. See, and I sense that that's prophetic, because it came back 2 or 3 times during the night. I was taking communion during the night, and I saw it again. And I said, Lord, why is that, you know, prophetic about? He says, you don't understand. There was no way that you had any clue about what your pastor was doing all night long. He didn't want to be there. He was upset. But he wasn't there for himself. He was there to bring a dead man to life. We've got a dead nation that's drying on the vine. But that doesn't mean it's going to stay dead. Because I believe that what God has prepared for the renewal that he's planning is going to be so dramatic that there are going to be millions are going to be affected by the power of the Holy Spirit and the spoken word. Because you see, the spoken word from Gino's mouth brought life to a dead man. And the words from your mouth will bring life to dead men and women that are going to come off the vine, and they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, everything happens for a reason. And like I said, the pastor was not happy. I mean, you know, and of course, I didn't understand, you know, I could have probably canceled something, but there was no press to cancel anything. It was just, I'll see you tomorrow, which was God's divine appointment or timing. You know, if I would have went that night, I don't even know if he was in the hospital at that point. So you see, Holy Spirit is ever knowing. He's eternal. He knows. He knows what's up. He knows what's going, you know, down the highway. And we need to be aware. So I gave that out. And we had a little snack afterwards. And, you know, I was watching, again, Holy Spirit working, recognizing that, you know, there are not that many that are willing to intercede for the area or the nation. But those that are, they're serious. And they're dedicated. And they're doing what God has told them. So I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's what I heard this morning. I heard 14, so I came to 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I don't know if we want to go any further. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The broken church doesn't want anything to do with that. Okay? Because as soon as spiritual gifts come in, they lose control. As soon as spiritual gifts operate through you and me, we lose control. Or we give it up. But I'll tell you, God's going to win. God is going to win. You can give him an argument. You can give him a sad situation. And you can cry your eyes out for a month. But he's not going to give up on you. I should have heard a couple of amens there. Because
Amen.
Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, when I saw the vision, did I think it was prophetic? Because it was an overnight sensation for that man. Getting a clue? An overnight sensation. It happened within a 24-hour period. What happens in our country may happen within a 24-hour period. And if it does, it's going to shake many into despair, and it's going to bring life to those that are barely able to keep their head above water. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. So your heavenly language is for God's benefit, not for yours all the time. Indeed, no one understands him, but utters mysteries with his spirit. It's not your soul that's declaring. It's your spirit that is doing a work. You can also put it by his spirit, because it is Holy Spirit at work inside of you, transforming what's going on around you. And interceding with you for the purposes of God, not for necessarily your own purpose. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So now, edification is to build yourself up. So there are times when you're going to see yourself slipping. And the wisdom would be to intercede in the spirit, to just break open and start thanking the Lord and release your spirit. At that point, you will downgrade the darkness and what it's trying to do to you. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Why should edification of the church be important? Because God has a plan.
The church has to be built up.
Huh?
The church has to be built up and strengthened to fulfill its purpose.
Right on. Last week, Sammy had a vision. She saw the aqueduct. And obviously, my spirit jumped because she wasn't around when the aqueduct was shown, when we were still at the Econo Lodge. Well, I remembered Gail had the vision of the aqueduct, and I think the water tower as well, and also Linda. Yeah. And I don't remember if there was anyone else, but I know it showed up more than once. I also know the very first meeting that we had in this building. When I left here, I was told by the Lord to push my odometer to zero. So I did, and I learned that it was exactly 12 miles from this parking lot to the back of my house next to the Chicopee River and rep the rest of the way home, because you have to go around to get to my house. Well, that's going back a few years, okay? So now I'm on the phone, and I'm troubled by the, I'm getting the snap vision in my head. Because when we climbed on top of that aqueduct, we saw three brooks or three channels in that aqueduct. So now I'm talking to Peggy on Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday?
It was Friday.
Friday. Her and I are talking about this and talking about that, blah, blah, blah. And I says, Peggy, I don't know why, but it's not leaving me alone. I don't understand. I says, I feel bad for Gail. She says, why? I said, because God brought something in that doesn't make too much sense, and it kind of leaves Gail out. So she says, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, I've been pondering. And I said, John lives by the Quabog River. I said, you know, that's part of one of those channels. I said, you live in Thorndike, and you're next to the Swift River. So I said, I'm not catching it, but there's something important here. And, of course, the Chicopee River is formed behind my house. So we decided to do a word search on Google within minutes to find out the names and what they mean. Well, obviously, the Swift is self-explanatory. Swift River. Very cold. The best water in all of our nation, by the way. Because I worked there at the factory that was there years ago when I first was married. And the water from the Swift River was tested by the experts to do dyeing and finishing of material. That's why that factory was built there. Because it is the best, even where they moved down in Carolinas, the quality of the dye did not do as well as the New England water. So I knew about all those things. So I said, I know what the Swift River does. It's the cleanest water. It's the most awesome cleansing water. In fact, in Three Rivers, they tested our water several years ago, and it's the best in the country from our wells, which are along that Swift River, not next to the Quabog. However, we found out that the word Quabog means Quabog. The river receives its name from Quabog Pond, P-O-N-D. An Indian name meaning red water. Red water. Blood water. Chicopee is the Algonquin word describes the river which winds through central Massachusetts. The word Chicopee means rushing or raging waters. Rushing or raging waters. Nipmuc language, words Cherokee, violent, and P.E. waters. Now, when our young lady came in July of 2020, she gave us a word. And, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to it. This is what was written or copied from the words that were given on July 23rd, 2020. And, believe it or not, here are the words that were prophetically spoken over this family. Are you ready? Miracles, signs, and wonders will begin to manifest out of this realm here and become a raging river of your glory. A raging river of your glory. You said the new wine cannot be contained in old wineskins. Lord, this is not an old wineskin. This is new. So, Father, this is the true wine. So, Father, we thank you for the invitation being released into the region to come and dine and drink your wine. We thank you for the freedom of expression that will break out of here in new ways and new dimensions and new realms of authority and fruitfulness. So now, when you see what God is doing, the reason I believe he gave Gail the vision is because she was the one that carried it in her heart. So she was the carrier of the information that would be downloaded to us, I don't know, 15, 17 years later. Why three channels? Three separate channels to feed this area. Because again, the water towers that were on this property are spiritually still there.
The aqueduct is 12 miles long.
Yes.
In Israel.
That's why it was 12 miles to my house. Thank you for adding that. So why am I saying this? It's because without those spiritual gifts, would this house of prayer be here?
Probably not.
Thank you. So therefore, purposing God to allow his gifts in each of these individuals, coordinated together, brought forth what he created. And he used Sammy to confirm it how many years later? Because when we were at the Econo Lodge, that was 2006, 7? 5, 6, and 7, right? Yeah, we were there 3 years.
We left Munson in 2005.
2005, we left Munson. That, by the way, was also along the Quabog River. Mm-hmm. So, Holy Spirit strategically put this together through the giftings to bring about his purpose and his plan. Not my plan, not your plan, his plan. And so, having a conversation this week with someone over what God is doing in their life, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, I pointed out, I said, you know, I was part of a church where there was 200-300 people. And I said, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of attention giving because many were very young in the Lord. And I said, my disappointment was this. I did not see at that church, which I thought was going to be up in a maturer or more mature place than my Roman Catholic group, because we were mostly all Roman Catholics there. And that was my disappointment. I had these expectations. Oh, my. They're going to know more. They're going to be more dedicated. They're going to. And I found out there were more babies than the ones that I was leaving behind. So what was I doing? I was putting my head knowledge ahead of the revelation. I wasn't there for me. I was there to bring whatever God needed to do with me and through me. So you're not where you are for your own purpose. You're not there by an accident of, you know, some fluke thing that happened to you. You're there because of God. You're there because of the plan of God. We're in Chicopee because, again, you guys are going out and you're giving living water to all the areas that you're from. She's in West Springfield. She's in Chicopee. You're in Chicopee. And whoever else we could add to the numbers. But that's God's plan. So, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. The prophetic word brought us here. We're still here. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you have prophecy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. Unless he interprets. So that the church may be edified. So a hunger would be to ask the Lord for interpretation. And when interpretation comes, it may not come the moment you ask. It may come in spurts or pieces to a puzzle. Now, brother, verse 6, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instructions? Yesterday, there was a young man that came in a little bit late, and we were already worshiping. And he came over and he gave me a hug, and the anointing hit. And instead of now worshiping, I'm praying in the spirit over him. And I held him for a few minutes and he begins to weep. And then a word of knowledge came. And a prophetic word. I don't remember what they are, but they weren't for me. They were for him. So I held him for a few more minutes. And as God would have it, we went back to worship. What if those gifts were not in me? What if they weren't in you? You wouldn't have your hand. 7. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue. How will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world. Yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to exceed in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. Pray for the interpretation. That's as clear as a bell. What he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful or out of control room. It's in the trunk. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That should give you a hunger. That's St. Paul speaking. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regards to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues, and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, But even then, they will not listen to me. That's a prophetic word you want to cancel. But it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So my prayer is this. Don't underestimate how much of revelation is coming out of you when you least expect it. What you may not perceive as a prophetic word doesn't mean that it isn't, because your mind is not capable of discernment. Your spirit is. Your mind is not capable of being flexible, because it's rigid from the law. It's rigid in control. And when we've been under that anointing of law and control, automatically what do? Law and control. And we do it reactionary.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm trying to blame anybody. I'm just trying to tell you. But your spirit wants to come alive and wants to be the one in dominance. And it will eventually overrule what is pushing your buttons in the natural. So you're on a journey. The journey is good. It may not be pleasant. But the bottom line is, he who began the good work will
finish it.
So lift your hands to him. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I would like interpretation.
I would like interpretation.
And you said to pray for it.
Pray.
And I'm praying for it right now.
When I'm serious with you,
I want you to be serious with me.
And
I want the interpretation.
Even in a crisis situation.
If I go to my heavenly language, obviously transformation can take place when interpretation breaks forth. From that heavenly prayer. Coming from my spirit.
Giving clear directions.
So that I can go forward.
And not be deceived as in the past.
Thank you, Jesus. For this grace.
And thank you for the favor.
To download the interpretation.
Whether it comes as a snap vision.
Or a word of knowledge.
Or something that bubbles out of my heart.
I will make sure
to make it happen quickly.
So that I can see the fruit.
Of building up my situation.
Or building up the church situation.
That's what prophetic words are for.
And prophetic giftings are for.
According to 1 Corinthians 14.
So shall it be.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's what I got.